Today we're going to talk about stories of resiliencies amongst the Native American people. So today, if you want to just share about yourself, tell us a little bit about yourself. You're starting with your name, your Indian name, and what tribe you're enrolled in.
Oh, my name is Joseph Bearstail. My Indian name is Thunder Child. Hirat's a name. It's Dakhiragish. Enrolled member of the three affiliated tribes. I currently reside in Bismarck, North Dakota. I'm a father of five children, boys, Kale, Koi, Kasten, Dion, and Taven. School, lots of school. Lots of years here and there, semesters. My recent was two semesters this past spring. I am trying to get in summer school out at United Tribes Technical College for the welding program. And work right now, I am kind of in between jobs. I have a part-time job right now, and I'm waiting on callbacks on three other ones. So I'm just trying to live life, I guess, right now, and make sure my kids are all right and fed.
Okay, so let's get a little bit more background about you, Joe. Where did you grow up, like childhood? Where were most of your years?
I grew up here in Bismarck, North Dakota. And Mandaree, and every now and then Spirit Lake.
Okay, and so that's an interesting perspective. You have an urban perspective and a tribal perspective. Can you share a little bit about that? What that's like? You know, some of the things you learned, and how are they different?
Bismarck is more city life. Well, mm-hmm. All city life. Town, whatever. It was me and my brothers and my mom and dad. I don't know, I had friends in town, white friends, Indian friends, all of them, pretty much. I had lots of friends, knew everybody. This was back when Bismarck was small, and I pretty much knew everybody that was native in Bismarck.
So did you feel different being Native American at like your school or just in Bismarck period?
At first back then, yes, because me and my brothers were the only male, I guess, Indian boys running around with long hair. Mm-hmm. Everybody else had short hair. Mm-hmm. I mean, there were a few other people that had long hair, but they were on the res, and then they'd come up. But in town, yeah, it was just us three. So
in your school, that would be elementary or?
Elementary, junior high, high school.
All the way through?
All the way through, yeah.
All the way through, wow.
Pretty much. It's the only ones with long hair unless you went to the reservation. Other than that, we were pretty much the only Native American, like I said, with long hair in Bismarck.
So what were the reactions of your classmates? Was it acceptable after a while? Did it take a while, or what did you go through in that?
Nothing. They asked, why do you have long hair? And I just said, my parents don't let me cut it. And they just left it at that. Does it bother you? No, really didn't.
And no one made fun? Did you?
Really didn't give him a chance to make fun of me, I guess, because I was, you know, kind of got along with everybody right off the bat. It was mostly, I mean, the fights I got into were with other Native Americans, pretty much. Mm.
So our own Native people were the ones you had to worry about more than...
Yeah, it was kind of, I mean, again, the scuffles with the white kids too, but... No, it was kind of, it was about 50-50 back and forth, so I really didn't care too much where it came from. Mm-hmm. I mean, didn't worry about it. Mm-hmm. It wasn't their problem, so I mean, they didn't have to get up every morning and braid it.
So what other things do you remember about urban life that's different to tribal life?
Well, on the res, I lived on, oh, in the country, so it was just
so the environment different.
It was quiet, peaceful. I mean, you'd have to find stuff to do. And it was all grandma's land, so pretty much can go anywhere and not have to worry about anyone saying, hey, what you doing there? This is my yard and all that kind of stuff. So, I mean, like in town, you just have to go to the playground, basketball court, you know, with your friends, and that was pretty much it. Or pay to go to, you know, was it Bump and Tilt and Wheel of Wild back then? And on the res, is you, then you go into the town and go to the gym or playground and play ball. I mean, it was always bad. And on the country, if you weren't finding work, they'd find work for you, clean up the yard, do all that, help grandmas, whoever needed it. I mean, it was a lot of more family out in the country because you really had nowhere to go. If you weren't outside, you're in now, so.
So let's talk about some of the values that you were taught during your younger years, childhood to your adolescent years. What are some of the values that you remember being instilled in you?
It's manners. Mind your manners. Treat people how you want to be treated. And it's pretty much you'd have to be over polite to, this is in the city, to, you know, equal the white people pretty much. So you had to kind of, you know, always have a smile and shake hands, do all that other stuff. And it was, it wasn't hard. I mean, it was easy. You smile, shake someone's hands. Yeah, how you doing? Be polite. I mean, just constant, like, mind your manners and treat people how you want to be treated. And it worked. I got along great with everybody in town. I mean, I still have friends here from, elementary school, junior high, high school.
And those are both Native and non-Native.
Yeah, and even the older, like, the older people that were teachers or you know, business people I run into nowadays are, hey, I remember, and they, yeah, how you doing, you know.
So what about in the areas of, like, marriage, family, parenting, spirituality, those kinds of things, the values?
Well, I kind of was lucky. I had my mom and dad both in, in the house. So, I mean, it was good and sometimes not so good because my dad was part of an American Indian dance theater and he was on tour at months at a time. So sometimes it'd be just my mom and it would get, you know, difficult. Her husband not there, my dad's not there, my little brother's dad's not there, so that part would get tough.
So as a little boy growing up with his father kind of not there all the time on a daily basis, what were some of the hardships for you personally?
Looking after my brothers, pretty much. We rarely went too far. I mean, like I said, it was outside, or all of my buddies would be at our house. I mean, our house was the place to be. We had all the little, I mean, basketball games. I mean, for what little we had a lot. And everyone would be at our house. And it was, my mom would be there. I mean, it was kind of made it easier because we were all there. She didn't have to worry about us. And then when my dad's there, it was still the same thing. We All my friends would come in, Jay's friends, Jazz's friends. Everybody is at our house, so.
So maybe something that was taught to you was, because you mentioned, you know, having both parents. You know, we don't have that. Not everybody has that. And so that's something that, would you say that helped you honor marriage?
Yeah, and then I seen the downside of it too. As I got older, and you know, my dad started drinking more, and now he wasn't gone for work, he's just gone. And I was married too for a while, and I pretty much learned behavior. You know, see my dad gone, but he'd bring, I don't know if he brought money back or not or what. I just know we survived. My mom was working all the time, so, you know, we knew what to do, what not to do. I mean, they raised us pretty good. We knew right from wrong, so we could be by ourselves if we needed to be. And most of the time, that was never. We got punished and grounded like any other kid, and I mean, we learned how to, we can clean the house from top to bottom. We're Cinderellas. Wash cupboards, wash walls, I mean.
And that's important. I mean, I've been myself a housing director, and you know, do housing inspections, and you know, not everybody has that skill, so that's a very valuable skill, very important.
Yeah,
because it kind of brings a sense of home and security, a warm environment to be in.
Yeah, and then my grandma and my aunt, it was the same thing when we were with them. You know, clean up after yourself. You know, always doing, you know, brush your teeth, make sure you look nice, clean clothes. They taught me how to iron. I mean, all the stuff you think guys shouldn't learn, you know, hey, that's not manly. I mean, it's just, if you can't do it yourself, then why, you know, if you want it done right, you have to do it yourself. So they taught us the right way to do things, and they said if you do wrong, like if you're ironing, you're going to burn yourself or burn the house down. So you had to pay attention. And then on the bad note, when they told you to go play outside, you know, you're going to have to do work out there too. So you did learn the men's part of the work, outside cleaning the yard, picking up trash, digging up trees, you know, feeding me out in the country, Mandarin. We used to have, well, I remember growing up, I don't know if my brothers do, but pigs, chickens, hens, you know, cows, horses. I learned all that. I was a little cowboy before I moved into the to the city. Dancing and stuff, you know, how to sew, how to take care of your outfits, and you know how to make them, how to repair them. You know, if need be, how to sew star quilts. Learned all, I mean, all that stuff.
And what about regalia? You know how to make.
Yeah, pretty much can make beads. So, can do it all. I never do because I don't like it and too perfectionist, and I, if I mess up, I just quit, or it's like, so I really have to take my time on stuff, and if I don't like it, I end up taking it apart, starting all over.
And you must get discouraged where you kind of put it away for a long time.
Forever sometimes, and you have to, you know, think, well, if I make it, remake it this way, will it work? And it's like,
Does the art... There's like an artist skill to it.
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, I'll go over it like 100,000 ways before I even start. And now I'm getting to the point where I start with stuff I could throw away. And then...
So creativity.
Yeah.
Able to get more creative.
And like make a template first and then go, hey, all right, I know all the measurement. And bad part about it is I never write anything down. It's all in my head.
Oh, wow.
So I have to remember, all right, what was this, you know, how many inches from this corner was it to this, and was it this way? And when I do make stuff, I make it to your body. So it should, it should be form fitted to you. Like now when people send out their measurements, they just get, you know, shoulders and you know, the length, and then the artist that they send it to, you know, kind of goes from there. And the design and stuff. But if I do stuff, I like to make it where it's gonna fit you. I mean, you got, you give yourself, you know, 1 or 2 for those indie tacos on a weekend, just in case you get bigger. But just a little big, not too much. So, and I mean, it should, everything made, it should be made for your body, because everything's designed. If you have one person you always go to, then you get used to their stuff and you know how. But if you make it to your body, it's less stress on your body, because you can move it just by tweaking little muscles here and there, and the whole thing moves.
So that sounds like you're branding the things that you make. That's your brand.
Yeah, you have to. This is my way of doing it, and, you know, like, my dad would show me something, and he'd just say, watch, pay attention. And he'd never write anything down, and I'd be like, okay, watch, and well, okay, he's doing this. Now what the heck is he doing? And, well, why are you doing that? I'll show you later. And he'll never show, but it'll be finished, and it'll work, and, and when I try it, and as the, all the, well, what do you do for this? I'll show you later. So then I have to figure out from that point, when is he going to show me? And then you realize, oh, it was right here. He added this. And then you figure it out.
Yeah.
It's kind of, that's how we pass stuff down. Just pay attention.
You just kind of get her done.
Huh? Yeah. It's a lot of, you know, watch and learn.
Observing and learning and just trial and error.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Patience. Lots of patience. And that was crazy yesterday. My son told me to have patience. Maybe not.
I remember being told that a lot too. That's a hard one. So, now we're going to get to talking about, and you kind of elaborated on that, who's your teacher, who you learned the most from, and it sounds like your dad and your mom, aunties.
Yeah, you mentioned, I mean, grandma.
Grandma.
Those are the people that, you know, that were my building blocks, that, you know, set the ground rules, and the, like, they were the template of where I kind of, you know, the, what is it? Yeah, the building block, the base of what, you know, where I get all my ideas and what to do, what not to do, why you can do it this way and why you can't do it, how come you can't do, you know, this, is because we don't have that in our, you know, our stuff we take care of, and you know, tribal aspect, you know, that's not part of our stuff, so you know, we don't know how to do that, or we never, you know, it's just what we don't do. That's pretty much, we just don't do it, pretty much.
That's no real explanation, you just know that you don't.
Yeah, you don't, you know, certain things here and there.
And you kind of don't ask questions, right?
Yeah, you just take it as, we don't do that, so we don't
do that. Take it with a grain of salt.
Yeah.
But that shows the honor for your parents. Yeah,
it shows that you listen, you know. They tell you not to do something, don't do it. Because if you do it, you know, it could hurt someone, yourself, or, you know, something will happen. They always say, if you do that, something, this could happen. They'll tell you what could happen, but they don't tell you why you can't do it. it's kind of weird, so. But that's how we grew up.
And would you say we're kind of losing that today?
Yeah. Yeah, we are, to an extent. Or if people are learning it, they're not learning it the correct way, or by the, you know, people they should be learning it from. I can only speak for what I know, but what I was taught and what I was given the rights to do, that's all I do. You know, nothing more, nothing less. And, you know, maybe the other people nowadays, they got those rights and they're doing it. But if they don't and they're doing it, then, you know, like I said earlier, someone or something could happen, someone or something could get hurt. But as long as I know I'm not doing it and my family's not going to get hurt, I have no, you know, it's not on my book of, worrying, or it's not my place to say, hey, you shouldn't be doing that.
Yeah.
Unless, they approach me and say, hey, I can do this, and, do you mind? And if it's my place to say something, I'll say something. If not, no. But, like, even if I go to other tribes and they invite me, I'll ask about it first, what is this? You're inviting me to, okay, thank you. And then they'll say, well, when you feel comfortable, come in. And I'll, watch them outside, watch spectators, see how they're getting up, sitting down, moving through the crowd. If I don't really know what's going on, I'll stay out. I don't want to hurt no one, don't want to upset anyone. It's not my tribe, it's not my, I'm a guest, so. But I learned a few things, asked some questions on different tribes and on their ceremony. They sent some explanations and all their games of their tribe. I learned a lot of stuff from different tribes that I thought I never would, and some of the the deep spiritual aspects of it, the meaning behind certain stuff that they do, why they do it, and to me that's how you learn. That's how you expand your cultural, like even, let's say, judging contests, they have different categories, chicken dance, southern, smoke dance now, all these dances that are coming in, I asked, there's crow belt style, all these, I'd asked, how, if they're asking me to judge something, I want to know, when they made this dance, how's it go, what am I looking for? Stuff like that. I'll do my research. I ain't just gonna go out there and go, oh, all right, I like him, cause but like some of the newer modern dances, everyone's kind of, it's kind of getting to the, I mean, this is just my observation and opinion. Everyone's just kind of doing the same stuff over. I mean, some of the traditional stuff, I mean, you can add some stuff to it, and it's tough to judge, but I mean, if they show me something that's a little bit, different, like, hey, I never seen that before. I like that. They're trying to evolve it, but at the same time, keep it in the traditional aspect, or So I'll ask about what am I looking for? How do I judge this? And it helps a lot. And then so just going out there and picking your favorite dancer.
Or who looks nice.
I mean, if you make me smile when I'm going, like, smile, chuckle, and laugh a little bit, and I'm going, wow, all right, okay, yep, you got me right there just on that, one thing alone, because that was, you stood out for me, no matter what, and you're actually trying something. But mind, you have to stay on beat, and, still.
Yeah.
Because I see stuff, and I'll be like, wow, all right, I'm gonna go ask, mind if I borrow that, if I could do it, because it looked good. And then, yeah, you like that, I've been trying it for a while. And then you get the story behind how they, how they pick that up. If they've been practicing, And that's how you meet people, too, sometimes. Because sometimes you don't really know who they are. And then you see it, and then, hey, man, good dancing. Hey, what's that? How'd you do that? Where'd you come up with that?
Yeah.
Mind if I try it out? That's, to me, that's how it should be. Bead work, Same thing. Hey, that's really nice. You mind if I kind of do something like that? Everyone's kind of the same colors now, and colors are everybody's. These are mine. If you want to make something, make it. Yeah. It's your work, your design. Colors are everywhere. So Mother Nature gave you those. So no one can say, hey, that's mine. But there are those certain colors that do come with tribal stuff, like, your paint and your name, the stuff you can, that's your power colors, that, hey, this is what you should wear when you're doing this. There's times and place for it.
So what would you say to somebody that, a Native American who wants to start making an outfit for themselves or for their children, and they don't understand any of that? Where would they go to learn that?
YouTube? That one is usually your family will, all right, we'll make a new outfit. And then they, that child or, Or so, that family will like a certain dancer, and maybe they'll go ask them, you know, how do I go about it?
Because one of the things that we're always saying is to preserve our cultural heritage. And, you know, especially in the urban area, there's so many that want to, but there's no place for them. Maybe it wasn't passed down to them with their family, or they're not living anymore, or like maybe they want to, but they don't have that connection, and they're not in the circle, that niche. And so they're looking around and they're missing out. They want their children to pass it on.
That's when you have to be a little outgoing. You have to step out of your comfort zone and just, you know, if you like someone's dancing or someone's singing and you don't know about it, go, you know, say, excuse me. If you don't know the right way, you know, tobacco's good, or even, you know, even just a handshake, hey, can I talk to you about something? You know, even that works. I mean, everyone wants to get old and traditional, but, you know, those ways are there. There's a time and place for those ways. Like, there's a time and place for anything. But, like, for the people that you just, you know, described, you know, handshake, hey, can I talk to you about something? I really, you know, would like to ask you a few questions, see if you'd be able to help me out. If not, can you point me in the right direction? That's the easiest way, because there's a lot of kids out there that, you know, that probably didn't grow up that way. I know a lot of it's getting lost here and there through, you know, translation, and I know it's difficult. I see it. I mean, and then the prices too are getting up there and outrageous.
Yeah.
You know, so it's something that if the person you ask, you know, if they want something right away, then maybe that's not where you're supposed to ask. You know, maybe try someone else if it's out of your price range. You know, can you see me who would just help me understand, someone to talk to, or, you know, someone that'll show you, here, I'll show you how, I'll show you how to do it, then you can do it yourself. I'll help you. I'm working on this that, you know, I have to fix for myself. Why don't you come along? I'll show you how it's done. You can help me, you know, and that way you know, and then you can take that and you can run with it. I sit there, talk while you're doing, working together, and, you know, tell them, I'm trying to do this, you know. Give them insight onto how to make it better when, you know, you're gone. That's what that camaraderie or friendship that you're developing. That's how you're supposed to, you know, pass it on. You know, I want to try this, but, you know, I don't know how it's gonna look, or, you know, maybe if you want to try it, you're a little younger than me. It might, you know, it might work better for a younger person. Because everything, like I said, everything's evolving, but and you still have the old style that everyone wants to maintain, but it's evolving. It has to. We have to evolve with the times, but we still have to be spiritual and mind our old rules.
So how do you think, what would be a good way to pass on those teachings here, like locally?
Show and tell. Talk.
Show and tell.
Talk about it. Show them. Have them sit around. Have examples. I mean, there's a lot of things out there that you can teach. Or some are self-taught. Some stuff I see, how you do that, and you just get the smile, you know, secrets. All right. I understand that, you know. Then, you know, you get to know them, and, you know, if they trust in you, they'll say, watch, I'll show you. And then that's how that one little thing gets passed on, you know, the little trick of a certain trade. If they, because some of the stuff, there's some work out there that's very, very special. And when you see it, you know it. And sometimes they'll pass it on, sometimes they won't. That's just how life goes, though.
So what does that mean, something special? What is
Everybody has that old something special about them, you know? Like there's dancers, singers. It's just something you're born with. I mean, that creator, God, you know, whoever, whatever you call your higher power, you know, that's, we all play to one person, whether you're native, white, or, you know, Christian. It's all prayers are going up to God. And He gives you a special thing. And when you figure out what it is, and you know what it is, and you're using it, people will see it and they'll go, wow, you know, you ever see that before? You ever hear that before? I never seen anyone do that before. And then when they say your name with it, and you're like, wow. And then someone meets you, and then they go, hey, you're that guy that can, or you're that lady that can, or you're that little girl that does, or you're that little boy that can, and I heard, and you know, and that's that little special gift everyone's born with,
So, is that in regards to like
anything,
regalia, singing,
anything in
anything
life,
in life?
you
Okay.
know, I mean. White society, native society, blacks. I mean, anything in life, everyone has that little gift from the heavens that only they possess. And, you know, if people around them feed, everybody around that person feeds it, everyone gets to, you know, reap the benefits of seeing it, watching it, hearing it. You know, it might be something they make where you feel it, touch it. That's that healing power, you know. So, you know, oh, he can do that. That's when people start talking. And they say, you know, I'm that forked tongue or whatever, talking bad. It's not good. I mean, no matter what it is, it should be praised. And if you praise it, you see what happens. It blooms. It grows, and you can watch that person, child, boy, girl, you know, whatever it may be. Just get bigger, and it's beautiful when you can see something like that.